Hello, welcome to episode 24, How, When, and Why to Build in SEO to Your PR Campaign.
Welcome to the PR Playbook Podcast with Ranjini Joshua, the only podcast that teaches you how to strategically navigate the world of public relations and social media and grow a powerful brand.
Hello. Communications has many parts to it, but how can you communicate with other people if they can't even find you? Well, today I'm talking to Ryan Rivard. I hope I said that right, Ryan. Yep. Founder and CEO of Bespoken Management, a performance-based award-winning global marketing agency. Hi, Ryan.
How are you doing today?
Good, good. As good as we can be expected to do. So in today's extremely competitive digital world, everybody's online now. We're still dealing with shelter in place. I feel like SEO is more important than ever. And actually, I've done my own little discovery journey in SEO over the past couple months as I'm starting new projects and shifting our website and things like that. I know SEO is really one of the best ways to optimize your website, and you can essentially be more searchable in search engines, I want to say. But before I try to explain that, I'll have you explain it since you're the expert. Really, I think from the very beginning, what does it really mean and why? Why do we need it? And I guess please start with a quick intro.
Sure. So thank you again. So I'm Ryan from Bespoken Management. And we run a digital agency in a number of different locations, including North America and South America. And we're privileged to be on this podcast today. So yeah, I mean, I think that it's, you know, especially as we're moving more and more into virtual and digital meetings and online applications and website management, having an SEO strategy is exceptionally important. Every business requires SEO. Whether you are B2B or B2C, most businesses, there's probably very few that don't have a website. So everybody has a website, right? And by creating the website itself, it's not enough to just kind of have that and expect that people will find you. Right. So here's then where SEO kind of comes into. In SEO, we mean search engine optimization, search engine management, these kind of things. So essentially what that is when you go online, and most of the time it's Google, but sometimes it could be Bing, and you are typing in particular words, keywords that you're looking for, whether it's a string of words or whether it's just one word in particular, like shoes. There are algorithms that have built in to then help you find what it is you're searching for online. And so it requires both taking a step and looking at what types of particular keywords you might want to be ranking for in terms of the services or products that you're selling online or even in your stores, and then how people are going to be searching for that. So in a nutshell, that's kind of what SEO is. And it's based on not only the content that you might have on your website, but also things like visual aesthetics and imagery and video as well.
And when you're talking about ranking, just because you kind of mentioned it, and I feel like that could be like a little bit of a confusing, or I guess like just a vague term. I think for ranking, like, what does that necessarily mean? What kinds of keywords? And we could take an example, maybe like a clothing store. Mm-hmm. What kind of keywords would, let's say, like a women's fashion clothing store want to be ranking for?
Sure. So before implementing any SEO strategy, the most important thing to know is who your audience is, right? And what type of business you're in. So then in the particular example, you're talking about retail and more specifically right. Like e-commerce or online retail.
Yeah.
And so if you are going to be selling clothing or something of that nature, it's very important to understand, okay, what are the types of audiences that you're trying to reach? Are you creating clothing that's 100% locally made? Is it organic fibers?
I realize now that I picked a terrible.
Yeah, there's a very broad. It's a very broad
example.
Yeah. Well, so, and again, I mean, I think that it's also then looking at, you know, kind of understanding it from that perspective and then really kind of narrowing it down to very specific things. So if, for instance, you're looking for shoes, you probably wouldn't just type in shoes online. You would type in red, Nike, et cetera, types of shoes.
Yeah, of course.
Women's shoes, men's shoes, maybe even a size or even a style that you might have known. And that will then really help you narrow that down. So thinking about it from your own perspective and how you go online and start to search for things, that's also a good perspective that you can start to implement for yourself.
So I have so many questions off of just what you said, but I'm going to try to go back to our list because I think they're a little bit too technical. And I really want to talk about why you should be implementing an SEO strategy. You've given us a little bit of background. But I think we need to kind of reel it back again and just go back to kind of the basics of like the beginning part, right? Obviously, before we get into actual keywords or like what pages we want to go to, things like that, I think it's important to know how to get started. So like if there's a way to an approach to getting started for it and what kind of work you have to do to prepare for that as a brand. You know, let's say I'm a marketing department of my company, like what do I need to know before I kind of jump into it? And what is kind of the best way to do that? What is the best way to get started?
Sure. So one of the great tools that you can use is Google's Keyword Planner. And Google offers this, essentially this keyword planner that allows you to put in certain keywords into a list and then be able to filter them based on location, based on search volume, and then more specifically based on the cost and the difficulty for ranking for these keywords. And it doesn't cost you anything from Google to be able to use this tool. And that's one of the great things to kind of go into when you're starting your business. So it's thinking about what are the pages that you're trying to create for on your website. So again, if you're focusing on a specific service, maybe a medical service, and you have some cosmetic procedures, but then you also have more medical procedures, you can break those up into what those procedures might be and focusing on the key terms of that. And so what you would do is use that keyword planner to then put into those keywords, okay, how much search volume are we getting for those particular keywords? Is it worth then trying to rank for that search volume? Meaning, are you getting maybe only 10 views for that particular keyword a month or no views versus several thousand? And then based on the volume that you have, it will also then pretty much correlate with the difficulty for ranking for that. And so that's then where if you're looking at, okay, I'm trying to rank for, like we said before, shoes, that's a very broad keyword. And so there's going to be a lot of search volume around that particular keyword. Mm-hmm. But if we type in red pump, you know, whatever it might be, et cetera, and have that very specific, if we're doing high heel shoes or we're doing flats or we're doing, you know, running shoes or whatever it might be, that will then help you kind of narrow in, okay, there are a couple of keywords that one have enough search volume. These are very specific to my particular products or services that I'm selling. And then what I would recommend doing is trying to focus on not all of them on one particular page of your website, but a few, maybe two to five keywords that then you want to focus on per page, including your homepage, because that's obviously going to be the first place that most people come to when they're searching.
And does that mean just like incorporating, like as simple as incorporating that word into the page or into the like URL?
Yeah. So there's, and this kind of hops into the next question with the things that you can do. But yeah, when we're talking about that, there are essentially three things that you want to focus on in terms of the pages. So it's the content itself.
Perfect.
The on page. So technical and both basic. And I'll dive into that a little bit as well. And then the internal website structure. So anytime that you are creating a new website or even an existing website and you're updating content to it, you're going to have some kind of menu. And that menu then has keywords listed in that. The URLs themselves have keywords listed in that. the titles of those pages have keywords. And so it essentially goes from top to bottom, left to right, just like we read. And that's how search bots search online for the particular keywords. And so they will look at...
So those little places that say enter keywords are very important.
Very important. And so again, having a very specific strategy around that also then helps you get more bang for your buck, essentially. Because if you're trying to rank on too many keywords, Google will search that page and say, well, I'm not really sure what this page is about because it has several keywords on there that aren't necessarily related.
Oh, gotcha.
They might be on the same category, but they're not specific to one particular topic. So that's where, again, it's important to look at these different strategies. And so, yes, content is definitely one of those places where you can add in keyword variations to your particular keyword. You can, and then you want to go back to the on-page portions of it and talk about like the meta descriptions. And that's, you know, when you're Googling something and you'll read the keywords that type up in the organic search, there's also then a description under those header tags, as you will, that provides a description. So the header itself has keywords in it. The description,
like a rabbit hole of content.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it is. And that's where, again, I think it's very important to understand that SEO is actually a very complex system. I mean, it's not complex in terms of implementing once you understand it, but there are a lot of people that claim to do SEO. There's a lot of people that say, oh yes, I understand SEO. But when you actually dive into it, there's a lot of layers and it takes a lot of upkeep to continue doing it.
Yeah, because other people are, new websites are popping up all the time. New content is popping up all the time. And I think part of it is that you have to keep up with that pace as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And then every day the search bots continue to search, you know, almost every second of the day they're running through. And so that's where, again, it's like if you create a new blog post and that has new content on a particular topic, that's great. But you also want to make sure that you're indexing those pages or having Google crawl those pages so that it knows that page exists and it gives it the correct authority to it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this goes pretty deep. I think it's really important. And I don't think, like you said, it's complex in a way where you really should understand it and then either maybe find out how to do it or have someone do it for you. But I think it's not complicated in a way where like you should avoid it altogether, right?
No, well, so I mean, one of the things that I wanted to mention as well, and this is something that we've spoke about before, is that SEO itself has a lot of benefits in doing it well to not just the actual organic rankings. Everything that you do in terms of your keyword structure, your website structure, your sitemap, all of this stuff helps then with any other marketing activity or medium. So for instance, if you are going to do Google ads, Google ranks the ads based on one, obviously the fund and the budget that you have according to those keywords, and then the competition for those keywords, but it also ranks on relevancy. And that's another area where if your page has relevant keywords related to the ones that you're trying to use in your ads, it will allow you to rank better for those without spending as much because it sees that your page is authoritative, it has those correct keywords associated to it, and those ads sync up well for the user experience.
Right.
So that's where, again, you can save a lot of money by having a correct SEO strategy than when you come out to doing Google ads or even Facebook ads or other social media types.
Well, I'm glad you brought up money because it is another question I have. So let's say I have another question after this, but let's say, you know, I'm getting ready. I want to do something. I want to invest in my SEO. I want to invest in my website. I want to optimize basically what I already have. What kind of budget should I be looking for? Like what should I be looking at as a starting budget? Like when I say getting started, what are the things I need to do to get started? And then how much does that cost, I guess?
Sure. Yeah, of course. So, I mean, you have to consider SEO is kind of its own entity, its own business. So a lot of businesses, when they're first starting off, they don't necessarily have marketing departments, sales departments, you know, outreach departments, all that kind of stuff. But SEO, right, much like sales and marketing and consumer interaction and those kind of things, is its own type of entity. And so it does require a lot of work to make sure that you're doing right. But when you're first starting it, some of the main things that you can do again is look at what your competitors are doing, right? Start to search for the particular keywords that you see your other competitors doing. And then essentially look at their structure on their website. Look at their URL. Do they have the keyword in the URL? Do they have the keyword in their titles? Do they have it in their content? And mimic that as a way to then essentially reverse engineer what Google is seeing as well ranking.
Okay.
That's a great strategy. And that's actually one of the things that we implement a lot for our clients as well.
That's funny. That's actually, I guess that's a good story. Not reinventing the wheel is always a great starting point. We do that too in PR. I mean, we look at our competitors, who's covering the competitors, and then how do we get that same kind of coverage or better? And that's kind of where we start.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, again, it's, you know, there's a lot of other businesses that do this very, very well. And so we're learning from them. They learn from us. And so it's a constant thing where, you know, it's good to stay humble, but yeah, if there's an opportunity to look and learn from what other people are doing really well, why not copy that and then tweak it towards your own brand and your own styling?
Sure. So what is that on my wallet there though?
Yeah, of course. Of course. So getting back to the budget area, I mean, again, it's one of those things, unfortunately, where ROI does depend somewhat on your budget. Mm-hmm. So you can tailor packages based on the particular budget that you might have. But if you say, okay, I have maybe $300 to $500 a month, that is plenty of money to be able to optimize SEO. It might take a little bit longer, but you can, you know, certainly spend $5,000 and set the campaign for you. But the ROI in terms of like deliverables and how quickly you might see the results will depend on your budget. One of the reasoning or the reasons behind this is because SEO is not just about changing the content on the page. There are some areas where you are looking for backlinks or even internal links, which then help boost your rankings based on the authority of where those ranks are coming from. So for instance, again, if you are a new retail business and you do a promotion with another well-known retail business, having them, you know, write about you in an article or you know, do a guest post or something like that, which then provides a link back to your website, is one of those examples where Google will see the authority of this other website and say, hey, okay, they're passing on this as a following link to our website.
And this actually goes back to one of the clients we have had worked with mutually. You know, we had Forbes column with them, and I know Forbes is one of those that ranks pretty highly. And so that traffic with a reputable source like Forbes helps our SEO ranking, right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And there are some articles too, where, you know, you have do not follow tags. You're still getting the authority from that. Mm-hmm. And it's good to have a combination between, you know, websites that tell Google not to follow the links and also then to follow the links, because
so can you just break that down just a little bit? Because I've heard this term so many times and I don't know, I could be the only one that doesn't know necessarily what it means, but what is exactly do not follow? In my mind, it just means that it doesn't track the cookies, or what does it mean?
Sure. So yeah. So what it means is that it's not necessarily saying, hey, I'm going to take my authority and give it to this other person.
In terms of
ranking. It's still allowing Google to follow the tracking and the link. Right. And it will still end up on your website, which then indirectly says, hey, you know, this website is promoting this other one. And so therefore there must be some relevancy to the content that is being written. But what it is not doing for the do not follow is saying, hey, I have authority on this page and now I'm granting authority from my website specifically to this other company.
And how does that protect companies? Like, in some cases when we're working with companies and they'll say, okay, well, you know, you can contribute content to our publication, but you can have a do not follow link. Like, why is there a reason that they would want to do that?
Yeah. I mean, again, I think the biggest things are, you know, just looking at, their structure as well. So do not follow links, you know, don't necessarily pass through like page ranks, and they don't impact like search engine rankings specifically. So having a do not follow link, you know, does not necessarily count as like a point for the page's favor, but it doesn't necessarily delete from like boosting the rankings either. So what it does for the particular user is it allows them to create content for you and help to promote your brand. Mm-hmm. But it's not necessarily saying that we endorse all of the authority that we're getting from our website back over to this website. It's kind of like saying, all right, I will promote your cause by donating to it, but I'm not going to necessarily apply for a job and start working there. Gotcha. Like, I believe in what you're doing and I want to help support you, but I'm not necessarily going to represent you as a as a client of ours kind of thing, or a partner of ours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it provides some barrier for them, because again, then they can have a little bit more control over the content and who's flowing in and out in terms of search. It also then still allows you as a contributor to get promoted via their site.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so again, getting back to the payments and budget on that stuff. I mean, yeah. A good thing to remember is that SEO is not necessarily an overnight process, right? So one of the analogies that I like to use, and I think I probably told you this before, but if you think about, you know, renting versus buying, you know, a condo or a home, Google AdWords is one of those things where you can spend a lot of money and get ranking very quickly. But what happens then is, you know, you're kind of moving into this fully furnished apartment where you have all these nice things. If you stop paying rent, you lose all of those items and you have to move out.
Oh, okay.
So, you know,
it's SEO, a marathon. It's
yeah, well, exactly. And SEO as an organic, you know, kind of search is more longer lasting. And so what you're doing is essentially building equity. You're putting bricks into the foundation. And the more bricks that you put into the foundation, the more you can be found, till eventually you're so large that you can't drive down the street without seeing it.
Right. You're like PR's first cousin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, and that's it's a good analogy. I mean, I think that too, the other thing is that unlike Google ads, where if you stop paying it for it, or social ads or whatever it is, you kind of trickle out and slowly lose those rankings. Even though there are a lot of people continuing to write content, and it's one of those things where you have to update your SEO on a regular basis. Uh-huh. If you do it long enough and you build in enough strategy, many of those pages will continue to exist online.
Right.
And so it's not like all of a sudden then you're just going to completely lose all your rankings and everything will dip down. You'll have a lot more longevity out of the efforts.
Right. Wow. Yeah. I feel like it's so intricate. Okay. So I feel like we have like a really good grip on like kind of getting started on SEO. What is your recommendation? I mean, do you guys have like, I don't know, and this is like totally, Ed's probably going to end up being promotional, but you know, just from a potential client, let's say perspective, is there a way to kind of like jumpstart the process, and is there a right time to do it? I know we had talked about new clients when they build new websites, it's a great time to start thinking about SEO so you could build it like into it organically. Is there a right time to do SEO versus another time, or like a wrong time, I guess?
Sure.
And how do you jumpstart that process?
Sure. So there's never necessarily a wrong time to do it. Two things, and I'll kind of break it down, and I'll use a client. So we work with a university here in Minnesota, and they were running, you know, they've been around for a long time, and they were running a lot of Google ads, and they were spending a lot of money on it. And when they approached us to help them kind of rework some of their Google ads and their SEO, one of the first things that we did was really do an audit of all the SEO and dive into what are things that we can update on the pages? How well are they actually ranking for these keywords? And how do they then relate back to the ads? And one of the interesting things that we found, which is actually quite common with a lot of people, and it kind of gets back to a statement I made earlier, is that they really didn't have a lot of great SEO on their page. And so they were spending a considerable amount of money running ads and other advertisement to try to get the same rankings. And so what we were able to do for them is once we spent some time in a couple of months revamping a lot of their content and organizing the structure a bit better on their website so that they can actually start ranking for that organically, we were able to cut their Google Ads budget by 2/3. And not only were we able to do that, we were able to increase the relevancy of the ads because the content was you know, optimized on the actual pages themselves of the website.
Right. Yeah.
That we were able to increase the leads coming in as well. So we were able to make it more efficient, increase the leads, and reduce their overall budget.
Got it.
So that's one of those examples where I'm saying, you know, there's never a bad time to do it because people are going to start their businesses and at some point you're going to have to market it. It's just inevitable.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a great thing for both of us.
Yeah.
But at the same time, once doing it, it's important to understand how to do it well and how to do it right and what steps you might take. And so that's where, again, we think that SEO is one of those first things that you should probably consider over all other types of ads. And I'm not saying don't run Google Ads. I'm not saying don't do social media. Those are also great things to be doing. But particularly for newer businesses and businesses that are just starting out or ones that haven't, have not spent any time doing SEO, it's really important to kind of start doing that first. And you can then run Google Ads while the SEO is kind of taking time to build organically. Mm-hmm. So that way you're still getting the optimization of having your, you know, your business, your website, that kind of stuff on page one in those top ads that you're paying for while you're building up your SEO strategy, which takes a little bit more time to build. So that by the time it's ready, you can start cutting back on some of that ad spend, which does get quite expensive.
Yeah, I know. And especially in competitive spaces, it's really hard to get that ad share, I guess, you know, at a good cost. But I think it's important to note that SEO, and I really, it's so weird because, you know, I'm in PR and I feel like I should know this stuff and I should have known this stuff a long time ago, but I think it is really like a crucial part of the infrastructure of your website. And if you want to get found and if you want to be seen, and if you want to be known for particular keywords or particular niche things, and I don't think, like you mentioned, it doesn't have to be extremely expensive. Does it help if you start? I know you said there's really no wrong time to start, but does it help if you start assessing these keywords as you build a new website because you're like naturally putting them into something that's kind of like a blank canvas? Or does that not really factor in?
No, I'm glad that you brought this up because this is also another good point. We actually really encourage when we're first starting a new project, a new website build, to have clients that work on the SEO right away. And I think the biggest factor of that is because, again, like you said, you know, it's one of those things where if you spend the time building the foundation first, then any other types of advertisement that you're doing, you at least know that you have a good foundation and keywords that you're ranking for. And because it takes time to actually index and, you know, move your rankings up over the weeks and months, mm-hmm. You know, having that opportunity to start earlier is probably your best thing. Okay. So when you are first creating your website, one of the things that we suggest to our clients when working with them is before they're getting able to launch it, we then start to look at the pages, look at the keywords, look at what they're trying to rank for, understand their audience types, and start to then implement that into like the menu items, into the content sitemap structure, and then also help them kind of create pages around it. So yeah, I mean, again, it's one of those things where if you can start to create that content as you're building the website, it's very, very valuable. Also, it's one of those things where websites want to be aesthetically appealing to audiences, and people are always thinking about how you view it visually. And it's very important for Google, you know, like our interactions as people, we're attracted to certain characteristics of people, and then we start to engage in conversations, and that's where the content builds. It's a similar thing with Google in the ranking. So websites have an aesthetic appeal to it, which Google kind of understands from a user perspective. But at the same time, then once you get to that stage and you have the audience there and they're attracted to it and they stay on it long enough, the only thing that's really going to keep them engaged is that content. And that could be video, that could be written, whatever it might be. So having that structure kind of thought about first should actually help you determine how you're actually laying out the website and how you're styling it.
Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And I'm just thinking about, like, as you're talking, I'm thinking about my own website. So of course, doing troubleshooting while you're talking. No, this is really, I think this is a really good, like, kind of 101 starting point. I would love for you to just take a moment to kind of plug any kind of thing that you have where people can get a, maybe like like I think you mentioned, like you do an audit, or something where people can get an understanding of where they are with SEO, where they should be and where they should go. I mean, do you have a service like that? And just kind of a little plug section for you guys. You know, what do you have going on where people can maybe get a better understanding of where they're at and what they should be doing?
Sure. Yeah. So one of the things that we do for companies is essentially an SEO audit and a content audit of all the structure. And so we take, you know, all the keywords and all the rankings, and we run through a couple of different software programs that we have and just determine how people are ranking for these keywords and where they're at currently. So if it's a new site, it's a little bit different because obviously there's not a lot of ranking going on. But if it's a current site that's already been listed, we will help you determine, okay, not just the keywords that are on there, but also then particularly like the page speed, the loading time, there's broken links, or if there are keywords that you're trying to rank for in the title, but it's not in the content, or it's in the content, but it's not in the title or the URL. And so we give you a full spreadsheet of all of these different characteristics, and then we help you kind of work through them and start to manage them.
Okay. Wow. That's awesome. Okay. Well, I think we're going to include all your information in the show notes. So, if anybody wants to contact Ryan, all his, information and background, and website, of course, is it bspkn.co?
bspkn.co. Yep.
So bespoken.co, where you can kind of visit them and see what they do. That will all be available for you on the website at thesilvertelegram.com/the PR Playbook Podcast. And then also, because there's so much going on in the world today and so much chaos and uncertainty, Bespoken is also offering 5 hours to local Black-owned operated businesses to provide SEO and other digital marketing support. But if you guys are interested in something, you're a Black-owned business, really if you're any business, I think I would recommend contacting them to at least get an audit or get a consultation with Ryan to see what they can do for you or what you should be doing in your SEO journey.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah. And so just, again, we work with a lot of different organizations, universities, healthcare, financial, new tech, all of this different stuff. So we have a lot of different experience. But yeah, one of the things that we wanted to do, again, being close to Minneapolis and just kind of seeing some of the stuff that's going on lately, is just to offer an opportunity for some of the businesses that are local and even outside of out of the state to be able to work with us. And just to have an opportunity to talk with us, and we'll be able to, you know, if it goes past an hour, that's perfectly fine. But we do have a link there for people to kind of sign up and just start to interact. So
that's great. Thank you so much. That link will be available on the show notes as well. As always, if you guys have questions, comments, suggestions for the podcast topics, anything in relation to PR, communication, marketing, I mean, they're all basically married. Please email us at podcast@thesilvertelegram.com or visit our website at www.thesilvertelegram.com. And thank you for listening. Until next time, have a great day, optimize, and hope you're ranking soon.